Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have with us today State Representative Heath Newman, who represents, in a fine fashion, I might add, that wonderfully District Number 46, which is everywhere in Rock Hill. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep, that's right. Heath Sessions.
Yeah. That is his name, Heath Sessions. Yes, yes, yes. So how do you like this weather? You getting all ready for all the snow and all those
snow kids? Snowmageddon. Yeah, that's right. Happy New Year, Manning. Thanks for having me again. It's good to kick off the year just before session next week with you and get to talk to you a little bit. But yeah, preparing for the snow event. We'll see what kind of event it is.
Are your kids all hyped up?
They are. They are wound up. As I was telling you prior to us going on live, I almost brought my son Ben with me because he was just running around. You know, he likes to be my sidekick when I'm at home. Yeah. So
he's putting wax on the runners now on the sled. That's what he's doing. All right. So great anticipation for this new session?
Yes, I'm excited. You know, this is my second term, so sort of training wheels are off. That first term, it's a lot of learning. And there's still a lot of learning to do, but I'm still going to be on 3M, which I was the 3M committee, which is military, medical, and municipal affairs. I was on the medical subcommittee on my first term, and then I'm thankful that I can say I am going to be the subcommittee chair for the medical subcommittee
for
the 3M. So excited to get into some of those issues.
So that committee does exactly what? You're a subcommittee of?
Of 3M.
Of 3M,
so
okay.
The medical subcommittee handles all things medical. So the CON, the repeal of the Certificate of Need bill that we did last year came through the medical subcommittee.
All right. So when a piece of legislation comes to the to the House floor,
yes,
or whatever it is, they throw it over to the committee, and the committee throws it over to the subcommittee.
Yes.
And you do all the due diligence.
We hear testimony from both sides of an issue or all sides of an issue. We discuss it. We vote on an issue. And hopefully, if it's successful, it goes to the full 3M committee. If it's successful, after that debate, it then goes to the floor for the whole, all 124 members from around the state to debate, amend, possibly pass or fail.
All right. So are there any burning issues like Certificate of Need in this upcoming session?
Certificate of Need was a monumental issue for the healthcare industry in South Carolina, as a lot of folks here in York County know. I think right now we're trying to see what impacts that repeal is doing to the landscape. This year, I am going to sponsor again a pricing transparency bill for hospitals for medical. So patients know. If you need to go get a procedure or an operation, you know how much that's going to cost. You have a right to shop it, get the best price for you and your family, depending on your insurance plan, and you have an itemized bill when you get done with that procedure.
So this will be a bill afterwards and not beforehand? In other words,
yes. The medical transparency is one bill. A right to shop is a separate bill.
All right. Yep. So the right to shop bill, is that still just an idea?
No. No, Oklahoma has, there's a few states that have similar right to shop laws, and it's basically just, you know, if you want to do a renovation on your house, you get a couple quotes.
I got it.
Similar idea.
So is your committee also looking at the right to shop bill, as I call it?
Yes, sir.
You are?
Yes.
So you got two bills you're looking at?
Yes.
All right.
To start.
All right, but
there's a lot of the medical business and the business of delivering healthcare to patients it's complex, right? And so there's a lot of discussions going on of how do we empower doctors and patients to be leading voices in those decisions while also delivering quality care or better care at the best possible price.
So if I was going to argue against the right to shop bill, I would probably say, you know what, if this passes, we're going to have to create a whole nother department to try to give somebody an estimate as to what it's going to cost to do X, Y, and Z.
If you're the healthcare provider?
Yes.
If you're, say, Piedmont or somebody like that?
Right.
You may have a case, but let's discuss it.
Right.
I mean, look, I'm not trying to run a business of running a hospital or healthcare facility, but there's historical data that's there, that's at our fingertips.
Well,
or their fingertips.
All right.
That
but
they
you,
could pull.
You said the right to shop is in place in other states.
Yes.
All right. What kind of data do you have from those other states?
It's pretty new, so there's not a lot of historical data as of yet, but there are other states leading in this effort. So South Carolina would be a fast follower.
A fast follower.
Yep, on that.
So it's so new that we don't know
the impacts. That's right.
The impacts.
Yep. And again, these are discussions that we need to start having in public hearings, whether it's in the medical subcommittee or the full 3M. Committee that we want to utilize in this term for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
We can use that as a forum to have these discussions.
So just out of, go ahead.
And this is bringing in insurance companies, independent pharmacies, affiliated pharmacies like CVS Caremark, hospitals, independent doctors, and patients' advocates. We need to have these discussions all streaming to where our voters and our citizens can really engage and get as informed as they want to.
Well, you just anticipated what I was going to ask you. When you have these hearings, are you set up in such a place that those of us who can't come to Columbia can dial in and listen to these things?
Yes. Full streaming.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't that neat?
There's a website and an app that the State House has where you as a citizen and a voter can go and you can track legislation. It'll notify you on your phone. I know we're really getting into the 21st century.
Yeah, you're going to have to set me up before we leave here. That's good. That's very good. Because I would think that would be very interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's not a there's not bad actors. This is not what I'm saying. What it is there's a way that we can all come around a table and have thoughtful discussions on issues that impact the folks who live here in South Carolina. And let's start having them.
So the fact that you have this right to shop and the transparency piece of legislation in the committee, have you already gotten some advance comment or pushback or whatever from anybody?
Well, the medical pricing transparency bill was House Bill 4622 that went through last year.
Okay.
Went through subcommittee, full committee, got out to the floor. It was passed on the House, went over to the Senate, and we just ran out of time. So Senator Verdin, who leads the medical affairs on the Senate side, was very helpful and supportive of the bill. So I'm looking forward to having those discussions again with my Senate colleagues.
So you will not have to go back through the House again?
No, we will.
But I
anticipate it was rather unanimous in the House.
All right.
So
the right
now
to
I'm just going to need to navigate the Senate.
Right to shop is scratch.
Yes. Right. The right to shop is going to be a new idea, new legislation, just going to be introduced this year.
Well, sounds like you got plenty to do with this committee.
We do. Huh? We do.
Are there any other interesting medical pieces before this subcommittee that you're now going to chair?
There's a lot, but they're still marinating. there's some things to do with health insurance, pharmacy, benefit managers, and direct primary care. Again, we want to empower the patient to have the greatest affordability and accessibility when it comes to healthcare.
Well, I tell you what, it's a complicated field.
It is.
There's no doubt about it.
It is.
And you talk about health insurance? Try to figure that out.
Well, and again, we probably all have personal stories of where we go get whether it's a drug prescription or a doctor's recommendation for a procedure, and then you have someone from your insurance provider who's saying, oh, no, we need to try this first. And that's frustrating, right? When someone's in pain or someone is sick and they need care, the doctor should be the leading voice in that conversation, not a mid-level manager sitting in a building in Columbia from an insurance company, right?
Absolutely.
One could argue that insurance middle managers should not be practicing medicine, right?
Oh,
you should leave that to the doctor and the medical professionals. So I want to have those conversations. And I want to be full transparent and let folks hear those conversations.
Very interesting. I'm going to be dialing in. I want to listen to this stuff. It's going to be good. Very good. So what other committees are you on now? Besides, this is a big one.
That's the big one. That's the only one I'm on. Last year I was on regs and AI, but having the responsibility of being a subcommittee chair, I'm going to have my wagon full with a lot of reading, a lot of research, leading those discussions that I just talked about.
Okay, so I'm sure by this time the delegation has heard plenty from the town of Fort Mill, city of Rock Hill, mm-hmm. York County. I mean, the list goes on and on. We'd like to have this, we'd like to have this, we need help with this, we need help with that. Is that a long list this year?
Yes. And, you know, that's pretty typical every year. You know, this is one of the fastest growing areas of the state. And not to mention the state's one of the faster, what is it, the top three?
Yeah.
I think I just heard, I read an article that we just surpassed, was it Texas,
yeah.
as the fastest growing?
U-Haul says we are now the fastest growing state because they track the number of U-Haul units coming in versus U-Haul units going out.
Yeah.
We got more coming in.
Oh, great.
And they're going out. So there you go.
So yeah, I mean, just being in this great state, everyone's coming here, businesses are coming here. There's a lot of issues that affect all of these folks, whether it's addressing personal income tax, corporate income tax. I know that has been at the forefront of all of our discussions in our Republican caucus. And I anticipate that being a leading priority when we get there next week.
Really?
Yes. Looking at making major tax cuts for our citizens of South Carolina. Our effective tax rate right now is 6.2. It'd be, that's our retail tax rate, personal income tax rate. Our effective is somewhere around like 3.7, but not everyone's paying that. So we want to make a cut to around 4.
Boy, that'd be a heck of a jump, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Woo.
Yes.
Woo.
So in those discussions, I like to hear what the Ways and Means Subcommittee and then full committee is going to talk about as far as addressing corporate income tax, because I think that needs to be part of the discussion. But we might have to take that in several bites, which means several bills.
Of course, the governor kind of has taken the lead on this. Last year's budget, did he drop the personal income tax rate? I've forgotten what it was.
But yeah, in the prior session, so I came in the 125th general right. session. So before Gary Summerall and that 125th left, they did a great job with signing on to a tax reform bill that did a stair-step approach. So
right.
I think it took us from 7 down to now what we're paying now is 6.2.
Right.
So they did a good job with leading that effort. Now we're just continuing that.
We want 6.2 to get down to 4.
Yes.
And eventually, I think what they'd love to do is to be like Texas and Florida and have 0.
I would love to get there.
But then we get to the point of, okay, that's nice, but how are we going to replace that revenue? Now, if we keep growing the way we've been growing, it'll happen, what do you call it, organically by itself, right?
Yep, that's correct.
But that's quite a leap. That's quite a leap.
It is. But if you've been reading around budget times, we've been having record surpluses.
Oh, yeah.
Now, again, we've had a couple storms come through. That is going to be an ask. That's going to be in the budget conversation. We've had a lot of communities like the western part of the state of Edgefield, Lawrence, Aiken counties that have had a lot of money from the emergency response side. Mm. And I know they're, you know, that's going to be part of our responsibility to help clean that up.
Well, and then I also,
I
also think about the coastal communities now.
Yeah.
They have, you know, we're in Hurricane Alley and they just, you know, the erosion of the beaches.
Yes.
How are we going to make sure that we keep the tourism industry the way we want to keep it, that
right.
kind of thing?
Yeah, and there's a lot of avenues that we can pursue. One may be raising a sales tax, right?
Yeah.
Or whether it be hospitality, tourism taxes, where, you know, let the over 500,000 people who come to the state visiting our great coastlines, our mountain areas, York County,
sure.
for amateur sports, travel ball, let them help.
Pay the freight.
with the tax liability.
Which they've done very well here, just in the greater Rock Hill, York County area.
Absolutely.
I mean, my God.
We appreciate it.
Thank you for Pennies for Progress. You helped us build our roads.
That is right. So along with that economic growth comes infrastructure investment.
Oh, yeah.
Wise infrastructure investment. You know, Senator Michael Johnson and I sit on our regional transportation authority, along with, you know, various other city and county leaders. So I'm getting a firsthand classroom education on the expense of what it costs to build roads, bridges, and interstate exits.
It's unbelievable that in a period, a short period of a few years, the cost of paving, just paving a mile of road, has gone from $400,000 to $800,000.
Correct.
And it may be $1 million now, for all I know.
Interstate exit projects that originally, a couple years ago, were going to had a price tag of $100, $120 million are going for $200.
Yeah. And then you add
to
that.
And they're not. They're not going down anytime soon.
No, they're not going to go down. Nothing goes down. It's
correct.
Just the rate of growth
just
slows down. But then you add to that the fact that it takes 9 years, 10 years, to say, okay, we're going to do this road from there to the fact that it's done.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
The design build process, of which we utilize within our state DOT, needs to be looked at. And I have some colleagues in the House who have been actively looking at that over the past year, and I'm looking forward to seeing that bill come before us this year.
I mean, and compared to what's being done in other parts of the country, I'm sitting here talking about 9 to 10 years to get something built. I mean, is it reasonable to say that could be 5 years? Or is that just way out of whack?
I would ask the question, why can't we do it in two?
Well, yeah, I mean, wonderful. Sunflowers and, environmental issues.
But yes, like that is one. I think that's one of my bigger adjustments, is coming in from my private business approach to government. Is it doesn't move as fast as you'd like.
Yeah, but the difference between night and day, right?
That's right. But I am always the optimist, and I look forward to making that more efficient.
All right. We got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that they are listening to Straight Talk. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and they're online as well at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, we are hanging out here, of course, at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. What we do here is fresh subs and salads. And we do it 6 days a week. So all those people who are cold outside ought to be inside here so they can enjoy a great meal. Huh? Oh, we're going to close early today, 3 o'clock? Oh, so the boss just told me. So you know what? You all are in line. I want you to know you're getting food good because they're going to close at 3 o'clock today. You all can read the white letters together, right? At the count of three, we're going to chant it out. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll be back right after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
We hope you'll choose The Nest to deliver your newest bundle of joy. The Nest is a new labor and delivery recovery postpartum unit at Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill, working to make your pregnancy and childbirth experience as easy and enjoyable as possible. Our physicians and nursing staff at Piedmont are dedicated to giving expectant mothers the maternity care they want and need. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
It's soup weather and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry rode across from Winthrop, and Heath Sessions had said he would just take the bet on tonight's game.
I mean, think about it. Texas Longhorns getting 6 points
in the
Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
That's a home game.
Whew. Wow. It'll be a good game. Anyway, yep. We're back here talking about more important things.
Okay.
So on this list that you're getting from all the, you know, the municipalities and townships and the county and what have you, what are they hoping for? What do they want? They want money, obviously, from the state of South Carolina.
Yeah, there's, and a lot of it is for the growth that we're seeing here around the county, right?
So they want more money for roads.
Yeah, roads, bridges, water towers, sewer pump stations, sewer pipelines, all of those things. All those vital infrastructure needs that our community is going to need as folks flock to York County.
All right, so now following the last year's budget, there was a lot of news coverage that, you know, they're not going to be earmarks in this year's, the new budget.
Yes.
So if somebody wants a water tower or they want to have, you know, a sewer line or something.
Yes.
Is that come under the category of earmark or is that kind of funneled into a budget of another department?
That depends.
So, this is how the sausage is made.
Well, and you know, I think our governor last year in the State of the State offered that instead of having legislators and representatives and senators have earmarks for their districts, those should go to state agencies in the form of block granting and let, whether it's cities or nonprofits, apply for those block grant funds and having that agency review the applications and then prioritize what's more important to not just the district or the county, but also the state.
Okay.
So that's an option for some.
So is the wish list about normal this year versus, you know, last year, let's say?
It is. I mean, like we've talked about, this county is one of the fastest growing.
Oh, yeah.
So infrastructure, those growth pains are leading all asks, whether it's City of Rock Hill or whether it's the county.
We're in a high-growth state.
Yes.
Everywhere in the country, including right here in South Carolina, we've got a homeless problem, which is growing. I know you hear a lot about that wherever you go. Is there a role for the state of South Carolina to help out all the various communities in the big cities like Rock Hill, Greenville, Columbia?
You know, there is, and we made that effort last year when we tried to consolidate sort of our health care services. We tried to put all of that under a Secretary of Health. Unfortunately, that got blocked by a member. I think he objected to us moving it up on the calendar so we could get it passed, because
right.
We had just received, it was the last day of session. We just received the bill back from the Senate with some amendments, so we had to consider those. We had to move it up on the calendar, and unfortunately, we had a member from the Spartanburg County objected. And so we could not streamline and make how we deliver healthcare more efficient. So I don't know why he objected. You'd have to ask him. That was Representative Magnuson. And so I think there's some discussions about trying to make how we deliver healthcare under one agency, with the agency secretary being appointed by the governor.
Right.
So there's some sort of accountability where the governor, if that person's being ineffective, the governor can make changes. Before, it was, you know, numberless agencies with boards and commissions that if they didn't want to act, the governor, you know, it was a little more slow go to try to get some accountability on those things.
Right.
And when you talk about homelessness, you're talking about a lot of, there's an array of issues that folks who are experiencing homelessness are dealing with. Some folks are dealing with, say, a domestic issue. Some folks are dealing with drug addiction. Some folks are dealing with, say, a criminal justice issue. Some folks are dealing with mental health.
Some people are working and are homeless.
That's right.
The one that really gets me.
That's right. So there's a myriad of issues that affect and impact why someone's homeless. And so trying to consolidate under one Secretary of Health would help that, because before, when you had these fragmented agencies, there's a lot of finger pointing. And there's a lot of, if a mom's got a child who's going through mental health issues, maybe suicidal tendencies, but also homeless, you might have the mental health folks saying, oh, no, you got to go to this agency.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And vice versa. Whereas if you can consolidate leadership It brings more accountability and efficiencies to those processes. So yes, there is a role to play when you're talking about how do we administer and help folks who are experiencing homelessness, but that's the state's role, but there's also a county and a city role as well. Yeah. And also nonprofit like Pathways.
Right. And it's interesting. You're right. It's a joint issue that everybody has to have a role in.
Correct.
You know, state of South Carolina, the private community, the city, the county, everybody needs to have a role in it somehow.
Yep.
Because it's a community problem.
And I would encourage your listeners, you know, we're compelled, Bert, you know, by the Bible, Matthew 25. You know?
Yeah.
As
if
you consider yourself Christian, I'd challenge everybody to get involved. There's a lot of nonprofits here in Rock Hill and York County, a lot. And to start naming them, I would do a disservice. So I work through your church, work through your community organizations, and get involved.
Okay, we've got about 3 minutes left in the program. What do you want to see at the top of the list? What do you want to accomplish as the representative of District 26 and part of the York County delegation? What do you want to see happen?
I want to change the perception that government is inefficient, right? My leading sort of priority is to make government efficient, accountable, and transparent. And so in everything that I want to do or be a part of, that's what I want to bring with it. Okay, so we talked about medical stuff. I want it to be streamlined. I want to have public hearings, subcommittee meetings, and committee meetings all streamlined. So if folks want to see how their members voting, they can go and check it out. But I also want voters and people of South Carolina to come away with the feeling that their representatives and their senators are working for them. You know what I mean? The folks of District 46, I work for them. They're my boss. No one else. I know I belong to a Republican Party and a Republican caucus, but they're not my boss. And so I want our voters to understand that. I have a website, heathsessions.com. I do a weekly podcast myself called Pints and Politics. We have a website. We have it's on Facebook. It's on YouTube, Spotify. You can see how I stand on issues. I'm pretty transparent. You may not like the answer I give you, but I'll give it to you. So I want the folks here in Rock Hill to know if you need any help and if I can provide it, get in touch with me. My cell phone is 704-807-1575. If you need help in any way, even if it's a local issue, that's my job.
Good. Good to hear. And I will say, you know, generally speaking about the York County delegation, I think most of them share exactly the same mindset.
We have a great delegation. I have the honor and privilege of leading this motley band of York County representatives and senators for the next 2 years.
Oh, well, good.
You're
the delegation chair, huh?
I am the official cat herder.
Good for you.
So, yeah, if I can help folks in any way, that's what we're here for.
Well, you guys are doing great work down there. It's not the easiest thing in the world when you're dealing with, you know, all the different personalities from across the state.
That's right.
All the politics from across the state. Everybody needs money for this. Everybody needs money from that.
Yes.
We still have to make the state attractive to those who come in here and help us pay for what's going on here.
Yep.
But the key is, how do we keep the state of South Carolina the way it has drawn us all here? You know,
that's
smiling
right.
Faces, beautiful places.
That's
with
right.
all this growth. Mm-hmm. With all this growth comes a change in mindset.
Yes.
And a change of attitudes.
Yes.
And we got to be careful about what we do on this.
Don't California my Carolina.
That's it. Thank you very much. What a great way to end the show. Thank you, Heath, for all you do, buddy.
Hey, and remember, everybody be safe out there. We do have a snow event coming in, so just be mindful, be safe. Get some bread and milk.
There you go. You can't. There's none in the stores. It's all gone already. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Sharon Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, I've got learned people around this table, including Heath Sessions.
You're making some big assumptions.
Well, I don't. Well, you know, I'm looking at Scott Oliver, and so that's what I'm wanting to learn it. Maybe that's a little bit too much. But anyway, what we do here is fantastic. Fresh subs and salads. You need to get a bunch of them here because Charlie's closing at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
That's right.
And he has not made a call about tomorrow. We'll see what happens, but we'll let you know on the radio. Okay, what we do inside here, you can join in as well. Read the white letters out loud. I'll recount at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful snowy weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.